Gracious God, we have read and heard from your holy word, John's account of this special day, this Palm Sunday. Such excitement and questions filled the air in Jerusalem. And Lord, we come today, and some of us may have questions and not fully understand what Palm Sunday means or what who Jesus is, in fact. Lord, we come today and just pray that our time together and the words that we hear and the words that we share may be edifying for us, that may be inspiring for us, that we may leave here as different people for having been here today and worshiping together. Lord, prepare us now to receive your word and prepare us now for the coming days of this holy week. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. What did Jesus look like? A laughing, short-bearded Jesus with dirty blonde hair and blue eyes? What about an African Jesus? Or a clean-shaven Jesus with arms outstretched at the Last Supper? Or perhaps an Asian Jesus with his Asian mother at his side? I want you to take for a moment and picture the face of Jesus in your imagination. What do you see? Does he have a crooked nose or a hooked nose? Is his hair the color of walnut wood, parted in the middle, hanging straight to the ears, and maybe turning to waves down to his shoulders? Does he have a dark beard? Dark eyes, tanned olive skin, high cheekbones, a narrow, handsome face filled with passion and kindness? And in his dark eyes, is there fire and compassion? Is this how you picture him, or is your picture different? However we see him, is that his true likeness? We all probably envision Jesus a little the same and yet a little differently based on our exposure to renditions offered by artists over the generations. In early Christianity, before the populace was literate, artwork was used to tell the stories of Jesus. Etchings, paintings, sculpture, stained glass windows, all conveyed the lessons of Scripture without any words or reading required. The Orthodox Church relies on many icons or images of Christ to remind people of Christ's love and sacrifice. Many centuries ago, an icon of Jesus was painted. It's called the Mandylion icon, from the Greek word meaning the towel. Orthodox Christian tradition claims this icon as the first painting of Jesus. It's believed to be an accurate representation of his true likeness. In the writings of the Antonicene Fathers, which is a 10-volume collection of writings by the theologians and leaders who lived during the first 3 centuries of the Christian church, there's a story in that collection of how the Mandylion icon came to be. And I'm going to share that story this morning. The fame of Jesus, the wonder worker and healer, had spread far beyond the lands of Judea, where he taught and worked and walked. Across the Euphrates River, in the city of Edessa, believed to be the modern southeastern Anatolian city of Sanlıurfa in Turkey, lived a governor named Abgarus, who suffered from an incurable disease that neither herbs nor doctors in his land could heal. Hearing of Jesus' miracles, Abgarus wrote him a letter that's recorded by the church historian Eusebius, and here are his words. To Jesus called Christ, Abgarus, the governor of the country of the Edessenes, an unworthy slave. The multitude of the wonders done by you has been heard of by me, that you heal the blind, the lame, and the paralytic, and cure all the demoniacs. And on this account, I entreat your goodness to come even to us and escape from the plottings of the wicked authorities who hate you. My city is small, but large enough for both of us. Obgerus convinced Ananias to deliver the letter, instructed him that while in Judea, to take an accurate account of Jesus, his appearance, his stature, his hair, and his words. Ananias delivered the letter to Jesus and then stared at him, trying to fix in his mind the face of Christ. Try though he did, Ananias could not memorize the countenance of Jesus. Jesus, knowing Ananias' heart, asked the disciple for a wash towel, and a wet cloth was handed to him, and he wiped his face on the towel and then gave it to Ananias. And on the towel was the very image of the face of Christ. It was a miracle. Take this towel to Obgerus, said Jesus, and tell him I cannot come, for I must fulfill my destiny here. But later I will send my disciple Thaddeus to heal him. Ananias fell to the ground and worshipped Jesus, then returned to Abgarus and Edessa, who was healed by means of the miraculous towel long before Thaddeus arrived. Now, Orthodox tradition claims that it was from this towel of Edessa that the first ancient icon of Jesus, the medallion icon, was later painted, which became a prototype for the faces of Jesus down through the centuries. Since the time when Ananias delivered the towel of Edessa, thousands of icons, Western-style paintings and sculptures have been created with Jesus as the subject. From the symbolic images of the early Christian catacombs to modern interpretations, iconic as well as narrative images have served as objects of education, edification, devotion, and aesthetic appreciation. Jesus is recognizable by virtue of his recurring facial features. Differences and variables, obvious over time and style changes, only contribute to emphasizing that there's a certain family air to all of those artistic depictions of him. Scripture teaches that we are made in God's image. But often enough, we remake Jesus as a reflection of our own image, projecting ourselves onto him. It isn't just his features we reimagine. At times, we reimagine and misunderstand his character also. But we aren't the only ones to do this. His true likeness, his character, has always been difficult to capture, even for those who knew him personally. When Jesus was with his friends, teaching, laughing, drinking wine and eating bread, visible and touchable and knowable, even then, Jesus was rarely seen or understood for who he was. On the day of the big festival, when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey, everyone present seemed to misunderstand who he was and where he was headed. Thus began a week in the world, the world finally gaining a true likeness of him, finally understanding him to a certain degree, decided that they did not like what they saw, preferring to put him away permanently. The adoring crowd expected a conquering king who could restore Israel's ancient greatness, throwing off the weight of Roman servitude. What they got was a humble servant savior. The religious authorities thought he was a dangerous, riotous rebel who'd lead the people astray. Little did they know that by killing him, he would become far more powerful, leading generations to God. So what is the character and true likeness of Jesus? We've talked about some facial features, but what's the true character and his true likeness? Throughout the week to come, this Holy Week, as we read the accounts of the final days of Jesus' life, as recorded in the Gospels, we will see Jesus righteously indignant at the materialism of the temple. We'll witness him overturn tables while simultaneously turning the table-owning merchants against him. We'll watch Jesus challenge his disciples while he faces their betrayal. We'll see him prayerful in the garden, desiring not to fulfill his destiny, but knowing he must. And finally, we'll see him demonstrating sacrificial love on Friday. This and more is the true likeness of Jesus. The danger is that, like the disciples, like the crowds of Jerusalem, like the religious leaders of that day, we might become among them who did not understand these things, who did not see clearly at first, as the text from John said today in verse 16. They did not understand. So we need to spend a couple moments on thinking about what didn't they understand. They did not understand humble service. Jesus whipped out his towel and washed the feet of the disciples. It blew them away. The disciples had continually bickered about their pride and place in the kingdom. Even at the Last Supper, only days after his entry into Jerusalem, the disciples of Jesus were still arguing about who among them was the greatest. It seems almost unreal. They have just eaten the bread and shared the cup, and yet a fight breaks out, according to Luke. They did not get it. They did not understand who Jesus was. They also did not understand sacrificial love. Jesus told them, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep." At this, those in his hearing thought he was stark, raving mad. He would later say to his disciples, "Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." Not only did they not understand humble service or sacrificial love, they did not understand Jesus' redemptive mission. He had come, he reminded his followers, not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. There's a few more things, briefly, that they did not understand. They did not understand Jesus' welcoming compassion. While his heart broke for the multitudes, his disciples tried to send them away. "Go into town and get some food. We're too busy." They did not understand intercessory prayer, for they had to ask Jesus how to pray. They saw others praying, but they did not know how. They also did not understand the cost of discipleship. Jesus had to teach them the meaning of self-denial. On Palm Sunday, they did not understand him. They did not get it in the following days either. On Maundy Thursday, they understood him even less. And on Good Friday, they gave up, going home to return to their previous occupations. They had yet to perceive the true likeness of Jesus. They had seen the towel in action. But unlike its effect on Abgarus, they had not seen a likeness of Jesus. After all, it had only been a towel. Today is Palm Sunday. We wave our palm branches. We look forward to this day. We get a palm. Some, I'm sure, have already folded yours, woven yours into crosses. It's a highlight day. And we shout Hosanna, meaning save us now. And as we travel with Jesus this week to the temple, the upper room, the garden, the court, and ultimately the cross, will we see and understand the real Jesus, even from our 21st century eyes? Will we say, my Jesus, I love thee? Or will we be like members of the crowd and shout, crucify him? He is not what we expected. His image does not match our expectation. How do you envision Jesus? Let's pray together. Lord, we come with preconceived notions today. For many of us, the story of Palm Sunday is very familiar. We like to wave the palm branches and shout with the crowd, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We like to praise you as mighty King, with all our hopes pinned on you. But Lord, this is a roller coaster week of emotions if we follow you through the scriptures. Lord, we pray that we may be faithful in following you this week, that we may set aside our preconceptions, that we may have open hearts and open minds to read the scriptures, to follow you, to see who you really are, so that when Easter morning comes, Christ, that we may have a different image of you, a new image, an image which we may pattern our lives after. But there's a lot of work to do before next Sunday. And Lord, we just pray that you will be with us and that we may be faithful in our journey to travel with you this week. We ask this all in Christ's name. Amen.